It's KNPR's State of Nevada. I'm Dave Becker. Many people drink bottled water instead of the Lake Mead cocktail, the colloquial name given to plain old tap water in Las Vegas. But while bottled water might taste better, does it also enhance health, as some brands claim? Case in point, Real Water advertises that a negative ion infusion process gives its drinkers extra hydration through alkalized water. Nevada Republican Assemblyman Brent Jones is the owner of the parent company to Real Water. He canceled a scheduled interview with KNPR a short time ago, and no other Real Water representatives could be reached to talk with us. We have reached out, however, to David Hatchett, chair of the chemistry department at UNLV, to talk about the science behind Real Water. David Hatchett, welcome to KNPR.
Thank you.
Can you explain to us exactly what it means when a bottle is labeled with a descriptor like stable negative ionized water?
No, I really can't explain that. I can tell you that there's such things as alkaline water, which means that it has a pH greater than 7. It's produced through an electrochemical process, and it basically raises the pH.
So stable negative ionized, is it?
There are negative ions in there, but there are also positive ions. You don't get negative without positive.
Okay.
So, for example, magnesium hydroxide would give you alkaline water without going through an electrochemical process. You could just dissolve magnesium hydroxide. You get a cation, and you get OH minus, which is alkaline water.
Hmm. Real Water's claim is that a purification process called, I believe it's E-squared technology, adds electrons to the water through electrical restructuring. Is this scientifically possible?
No. No. Water doesn't. No.
You can't do that.
No, I mean, look at it this way. You know, the ocean is water and ions, right? You don't get shocked when you jump into the ocean. You can swim in it. It doesn't shock you. Likewise, you don't have negative ion water without positive ions. So there's no way. And you don't have electrons flowing through water, free electrons. You have ionic species. So if you want to say it's hydroxide, fine, OH minus, but it's not an electron.
Hmm. On Real Water's website, they claim Japanese researchers have been making alkalized and negative ionized water for about 30 years. Have you heard of that, those
sure.
processes before?
Sure.
Okay. What's the difference there? How do they work?
There is no difference. Hmm. I mean, that's factually correct. I mean, they've been making it for years. The benefits, the health benefits, though, of alkaline water, in fact, even by Japanese researchers, hasn't been proven. So I'm not quite sure what they mean by there's a health benefit to it. Certainly pH greater than 7 water tastes different than pH 7 water or even acidic water. It probably is a factor that it tastes better as much as anything, but I'm not sure about the health benefits.
There are other waters out there that make claims to have some added benefits. Case in point, Smart Water says it adds electrolytes to its water. Is this a similar kind of claim?
Yes. I mean, you add electrolytes to water. So does Aquafina and a lot of other bottled waters, because if you just drink RO water, it really has no taste.
RO being reverse osmosis.
Reverse osmosis, okay. Water. So, I mean, all of them will purify their water to remove chlorine, because if you have chlorine in your water, you taste it. But they will add minerals back to, one, alkalize the water, but also for flavor. Because if you don't do that, it doesn't taste the same, what you're used to.
Now we turn to Heidi Kaiser, who wrote the Real Water story in this month's issue of Desert Companion. Heidi, welcome back to KNPR.
Thank you, Dave.
So give us some source information. Where does Real Water come from?
Well, as a reader discovered and told me, it says on the bottle that it is that the source of Real Water is the Las Vegas Valley Water District. So, in other words, it's local tap water.
It is local tap water. It's ultimately Lake Mead.
The Colorado River.
Well, tap water is regulated by the Environmental Protection Agency, so the information, like where it came from, well, what it was treated with, are all available to the public. Is that kind of information available on Real Water?
Well, that's, I guess, there's sort of a yes and no answer there. Yes, in the sense that it comes from our public drinking water source, and information on that is available. And I'm not sure if they're required to disclose anything beyond that. But because of the Safe Drinking Water Act, SNWA and the Las Vegas Valley Water District do provide, you know, they are required to provide safe drinking water. So
now, a couple of moments ago, I noted that Assemblyman Brent Jones, who's the owner of the parent company for Real Water, canceled his scheduled interview with us, but he talked to you. What did he say about the health benefits of Real Water?
He said essentially that that he believes in a sort of holistic approach to health, which treats the body as an entire system and that it can heal itself if provided the proper circumstances and nutrients. However, his company operates in a system that embraces a different approach to health, the allopathic approach, which has sort of led to the governance of the Food and Drug Administration, and the FDA prevents holistic claims that companies like Affinity Lifestyles or Real Water would normally make. And so on the one hand, he's saying that the health benefits existing can be demonstrated in a system other than ours, but because the product is sold within our system, it's governed by a regulatory body that doesn't believe in them. So he's not allowed to make any claims.
So at first glance, that would sound kind of convenient.
That's what I said to him. Mm. Yeah. And he said, he just basically said that's the way that it is. So they don't make any explicit health claims on their website. There are other ionized water manufacturers or alkalized water manufacturers in Las Vegas, and some of them do make much more explicit health claims. Real Water is careful not to.
Did Assemblyman Jones tell you who his primary customers were for Real Water?
He did. He mentioned Sprouts and Whole Foods, two very large grocery store chains. And then he said that Nevada Beverage is its local distributor.
Did he divulge any additional information about his company?
No, he said that it is a closely held company, and so they don't share things like revenue figures and so forth. The company does have multiple locations, one in San Diego, and then I believe one in the South somewhere, either Texas or Tennessee. And another one is opening. And then he said he stressed that they do employ people here locally, some 40 to 60 employees.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever consumed Real Water?
I have. I actually bought a bottle for this story.
What did you make of it?
It's delicious. I mean, it's as Professor Hatchett said, because it has gone through reverse osmosis, it tastes very good. Mr. Jones said that Brent Jones said that they do filter it. I'm sure he meant reverse osmosis. He didn't use that word, but he said that it goes through multiple filtration processes, and then they do this proprietary technology on it that he can't divulge the specifics of, which we assume is some type of reverse osmosis. And so it does taste very good, and that's probably why people drink a lot of it and feel better. Mm.
Now, also joining us is Howard Watts. He's a communications specialist for the Great Basin Water Network in Nevada. Howard, welcome to KNPR.
Thanks for having me, Dave.
According to the Food and Water Watch, in 2009 in the U.S., almost 50% of all bottled water came from municipal tap water supplies. So do you see any kind of problem with Real Water doing what it's doing?
I do. And, you know, it may be legal, but it certainly is kind of questionable from an ethics standpoint. You know, here in the West, we're in the midst of a terrible drought. Snowpack in the Sierra Mountains is in single digits of an average year. And at the same time, not only do we have, Real Water, which is bottling out of Las Vegas, the driest city in the driest state in America, but there are similar processes. Nestle, on the Morongo tribe land near Palm Springs, has a bottling plant, which they don't disclose the amount of water they're pumping. And Nestle also has a facility that is bottling municipal water from Sacramento, up to 80 million gallons a year. So, you know, it's our perspective that in an area that is so dry and needs water so badly, we shouldn't be bottling up that precious what little of that precious resource we have and sending it to wetter places.
Is that ultimately the big reservation, is that it's water from desert and desert-like areas being taken and moved elsewhere and sold?
Yeah, for us, you know, beside whatever scientific claims there may be, you know, we're troubled by the idea of bottling up our most precious resource, you know, something that we can only live for a couple of days without, and we're sending it to places where that are definitely wetter than here.
If hypothetically, though, if Real Water or other such bottled water companies were to create their product in the Pacific Northwest or around the Great Lakes and ship it to Nevada, would you have the same kind of reservations?
Well, I mean, it is it's a different story. Mm-hmm. You know, we feel that we shouldn't be taking water from a place that is so starved for it and giving it to other places. And, you know, we've heard a lot of different ideas about how to address our water issues. We think the best one is conserving the resources that we have. That's the least energy intensive, and it's going to make sure that we can preserve the water supply without having to ship and pipe and move water all around.
Heidi Kaiser, did this come up in conversation with Brent Jones or with anybody else that you dealt with for the story in Desert Companion? The notion of taking water out of the desert Southwest and sending it to other areas?
Yes, definitely. I brought that up with Brent Jones. And he said that he didn't feel that what he was doing was any more objectionable than I think the example that he gave was the casinos, which bring people from out of state to consume the water in, you know, in hotel rooms and, you know, in the various forms of entertainment and consumption that they engage in. You know, and he stressed that he's a business like any other business. Most businesses need water to run. And, you know, that's part of his business, and he pays his fees for it, so he didn't see anything wrong with it.
Howard Watts?
Well, you know, it is interesting because especially when it comes to Real Water, this is a company that is really marketing itself as a kind of environmentally friendly or health-conscious company. So to conduct business in a way that is, I think, kind of environmentally irresponsible you know, is at odds. And I think that people that shop at Sprouts or Whole Foods would, especially locally, would first be surprised to find out that it's coming from the same source as their tap water, you know, and secondly, that water is being exported across the country.
Mm-hmm. Heidi Kaiser, did you in the process of this reach out to anybody at the Southern Nevada Water Authority?
Yes, I did.
What kind of response did you get?
His first response was very interesting. He kind of chuckled. He said, well, it just goes to show that our drinking water is good. it's safe and delicious and good to drink. I mean, if a company like Real Water is using it. He agreed that... He agreed with Brent Jones in the sense that it's hard to draw a line, you know, when folks can actually take water jugs down to a municipal park ostensibly and fill them up and, you know, take them home and put them in their refrigerator. It's really hard to start pointing fingers or drawing lines and saying, you know, this person is over the line, this one isn't. And so he said that the Southern Nevada Water Authority does not have any policy against the type of practice. The other thing is that there are a lot of bottled water companies like the ones that you see at the Bubbler where you work, you know, water distributors that distribute you know, office systems and things like that, that do also use the municipal water supply. So he said it's just it's fairly common practice. He said that he felt the biggest environmental problem or a potential environmental problem from their perspective is the individual plastic bottling.
The bottles.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that the amount of energy required, because of course the power companies also use water, and that's potentially problematic. Although I would say that Brent Jones did stress that they use PET recycled plastic for their bottles, and you know that they donate to a lot of environmental causes. Yeah. So
Howard Watts, does this come down to the level of policy? I mean, is this the policy or policies we have toward the use of water in this part of the country? Are those things that should be looked into?
I think they definitely are. And, you know, what's interesting is that Assemblyman Jones is a policymaker now and at the state legislature has some ability to exert influence over statewide some of our water regulations. And it is important to note the connection between energy and water, and the treatment and pumping of water is a major energy user. So they're very connected. One thing that I would note is that, you know, the scale of somebody filling up their own water bottle or having bottles filled from the municipal tap and then distributed municipally is different than bottling it and exporting it across the country. And one final point I'd make is that, you know, we're now seeing voluntary and now mandatory cutbacks in water use in California. Reno has just called for a voluntary reduction in water use by 10%. And I wonder if these companies are being asked to cut back as well.
David Hatchett, I wanted to get your take on, I mean, what we're hearing is there's this element of morality. You know, it's moral it versus it's business. What do you make of what Real Water is doing? I mean, do you find yourself coming down on either side of that?
Well, I shop at Sprouts, and you know, to a certain extent, they're not the only product out there that is doing stuff like this. And unfortunately, the consumers often are not very knowledgeable. So if they knew, they would probably think twice. I imagine that the labeling is extremely small. I mean, I've never seen it. So I come down on the side that we live in an arid landscape. I ripped out my front yard, you know, put in xeriscaping. Why would I then ship water somewhere else in any form, let alone drinking water? I mean, I have an RO unit in my own house. I fill my own bottle. I take it to work with me every day, and I fill it there every day. And I do that for two reasons. One, because the plastic bottle does cost energy and often is just thrown into a landfill and not recycled. But two, water's a precious resource that we shouldn't waste.
So ultimately, do you think the claims that Real Water's making on the labels, based on what you've heard, are dead wrong?
I think they are misleading. I think they are not backed by any scientific evidence. And the ability to hide behind the FDA regulations so that it seems as if you can't disclose information, I find ludicrous. I just don't think that's persuasive in any way, shape, or form. You know, show me the science and then I'll get behind it. But if you can't show me the science, you know, don't stand behind the holistic benefits of it. I'd like to see the science.
I want to ask Howard Watts, I want to ask you one other question that's kind of, I think, tangential but yet connected. You work for the Great Basin Water Network, and your organization has questioned SNWA's plan to build a pipeline from eastern Nevada to southern Nevada. Southern Nevada holds the majority of the state's population. First of all, I just wanted to ask you why you think the pipeline is a bad idea.
Oh, well, you know, I mean, I don't think we have enough time to get into all the reasons, but the short summary is that, you know, it would carry a huge economic cost. We're already struggling with rate increases to pay for the infrastructure that we need. This pipeline would be a multi-billion-dollar project. Estimates are around $15 billion that would have to come from ratepayers. You know, for anyone who's gone to Great Basin National Park or seen the beauty of the rest of the state, that pumping will have, especially over time, adverse impacts and could create dust that would tear up our beautiful night skies. And it would impact the way of life of people in the area. So we're supportive of other options, including conservation and other measures to fill our water needs. And one of the things that we think that we shouldn't be doing is exporting our water at the same time that we're pursuing this project.
So when you hear about bottled water companies bottling our tap water and sending it elsewhere, do you see that as more ammo for your argument?
I mean, it's very concerning. It's very concerning, Dave. You know, we're in a drought, and consistently we hear from some of the water policy leaders, it's kind of a hope for a better year next year. And then we see some of these questionable water development projects. And, you know, we should be keeping that precious resource here, first of all, conserving it and coming up with some smarter plans to make sure that we can provide water in the future.
Howard Watts is a spokesman for the Great Basin Water Network. David Hatchett is the chair of the chemistry department at UNLV, and Heidi Kaiser is a writer and reporter for Desert Companion magazine. Thank you all very much for joining us today.
Thanks, Dave.
Thank you.